The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS NFL Podcast. I'm Katie Mox here with Will Brinson, Ryan Wilson, and John Breach. Keep it locked with us all week long for more off-season news. And remember to like, comment, subscribe to the YouTube page. If you're listening to audio, download, follow, leave a five-star review, and tell your friends to listen and watch the pod. All right, fellas, how's everybody doing today?
I'm good.
Great. I'm great.
I didn't even recognize Brinson. He has glasses and a beard. What's happening, Brinson?
You know, I want to give a special shout out to my godson, Teddy Honeycutt, named one of two official MCs of the junior, the Washington Nationals Junior Nats Club. I don't know what it means. I think he may do player interviews, but he signed a contract. And 7-year-old Teddy, probably not watching this podcast because, frankly, it's insulting that your dad, one of my best friends, doesn't bother watching this podcast. He only listens to me when I'm on DC radio. But, Teddy, congratulations, pal.
Yay, Teddy.
Way to go,
Yay,
Theodore.
Yay, Teddy.
Ironic.
Sorry, Brinson's your godfather, but other than that, great job in life.
Billy already called him Brinson.
Today is the Who Gets Picked draft show. But, Brinson, start us off with some underrated draft picks.
I think you mean Wilson, because I don't know any underrated draft picks.
No, I want to hear one of yours. Okay. I'm just curious.
I will say, I do think it's an underrated draft pick.
It can't be the NC State guy that I was tweeting about the other day.
Zavala? He's great.
No, Drake Thomas.
Oh, Drake Thomas. Yeah, he's a stud.
Bryce Behringer, underrated.
I mean, I think Drake Thomas is underrated. Both he and Thayer Thomas probably underrated too, his brother. Both guys from NC State. Thayer, wide receiver. Drake, a linebacker. Just like lunch pail dudes. If they can stay healthy and get a chance in the right system, both will succeed, as Wilson pointed out. Either, I don't know if it was on Pack Pride or where, but maybe just on HQ, and it got aggregated. I'm going to go against the grain, and I'm going to take somebody who's a bigger name, comes from a school that you know I don't prefer, but I would say Josh Downs is an underrated prospect. I think Josh Downs could be the best wide receiver in this draft class.
Wide receiver, North Carolina.
Wide receiver out of North Carolina. He is so like he played slot 99.9% of the time at Carolina. Just elite in terms of his ability to, you know, run routes and get open underneath. You know, we see all the time in the modern NFL that you have three wide receivers out there. You're running nobody, you know, base is now a three wide receiver set, and base is like nickel for defenses. So, I don't, the idea that's like, well, we can't take him in the first round, he's just a slot receiver. We'll only use him 70% of the time, plus kickoff returns and punt returns. Like, you can take that guy in the first round, particularly in this draft, when you have all of these players that I think, Wilson, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like, it's, there's four quarterbacks, and there's a couple guys that maybe are blue chip guys, but for the most part, you take the four quarterbacks, the top guys out, and you can even throw Hendon Hooker in there, excuse me, and you can then have like anybody from 1 to 40 could kind of be mixed into that. You know, obviously, you know, you're taking Will Anderson over the 40th prospect or Tyree Wilson or whoever. But like it, this is a really, really deep and not top heavy draft class. And so I think, especially when you look at the wide receivers, a lot of whom, Quentin Johnson, the only one who's over 6'2", like you're going to get a bunch of slot type guys. I think Josh Downs is underrated relative to this draft class and relative to where he is being mocked. I think he goes in the first round pretty easily, actually.
Ooh, that's a bold claim. I think you're right, yeah, though. Between pick 18 and 40, you could just pick a name out of a hat, yep, of those guys. And by the way, the base package, Katie, Breach calls that the Rob base package because he's old school. Breach, have you watched any of the kickers yet?
Well, the guy I just mentioned is underrated, was Michigan State's punter, who I think is the best punter in the draft and probably the best specialist as far as if you're a team looking for a kicker punter going in the draft. I would say, if I had to guess right now, he will be the highest selected specialist.
I'll be honest, the Senior Bowl, I think he was the Senior Bowl because I didn't pay attention to the specialists except when they were just punting and I didn't look to see where they were from. But one of the punters, and maybe your guy there, had a obviously much bigger leg than the other punter on the other team. And also, I think Chad Ryland, the Maryland kicker, I think he was there with the Michigan kicker. I can't remember which because, again, I wasn't paying attention. But one of the kickers is considerably better than the other one in terms of leg strength. I think that's Chad Ryland. Nothing.
Yeah, I think Jake Moody is the Michigan kicker.
Okay, yeah. So I think Chad won that one. And Katie, just a couple names of guys I like. Dorian Thompson Robinson, the quarterback out of UCLA. that's the picture that Billy came up with. But he's gotten better each and every year. He ran a 4.5 and change. He's about 6'1". I think in terms of the ball speed measurement in terms of throws, he was second behind Will Levis. So he can step on a little bit, even though you didn't see that all the time. My guy, Michael Wilson at Stanford, the wide receiver. He's a special teams guy. He had a great Senior Bowl. He's a little slower. I think he ran in the 4.6s, maybe high 5.5s, 4.5s. But I would take him early day 3. We'll see what happens there. And I'll just mention Will Mallory, the tight end out of the U. 4.6. Not as athletic as you would like him to be, but athletic enough. He's not going to block, but he's a huge target downfield and sort of a middle of the field security blanket for wherever he lands. And a lot of times that's what these young quarterbacks like, guys that can trust in the middle of the field to throw the ball to, like Travis Kelce, for example, Breach.
Well, you know, it's funny. Brinson just walked out and then walked back in because the one kicker I was going to name was his boy, Christopher Dunn out of NC State. I think your boy could get drafted maybe 6th or 7th round, but I think your kicker is going to get drafted. How do you feel about that? I don't think he can hear me.
Yeah, he forgot to put it in.
Or he's ignoring me, which would be classic.
Are you talking about Chris Dunn? Yeah, he's fantastic. I think he could end up getting drafted in the 6th or 7th round thanks to his Lou Groza award-winning skill set. Although not the biggest leg in the world. Fun fact, his dad is a lawyer too. And I think he and my dad were like, that's how my dad was actually like on to Chris Dunn before I was. He's like, this Chris Dunn kid, he's going to be great. I was like, okay, dad.
What is the fun part of that fact?
There is the fact that I said it. You got me on the fun part. Yeah. Bob Brinson's fun.
It's a fact.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks.
I was really up his game on the video. Yesterday, like out of nowhere, kind of dropping him on Brady Quinn, that surprised me.
Let's get to bets. Our friends over at Caesars Sportsbook have odds all day for each team and what they will do with their first drafted position. So let's talk about the Raiders. Right now, the favorite is a quarterback +160. Then you got defensive back +170. Down the line, Pete Prisco, I was reading, thinks that they will go quarterback, likes Will Levis there. A lot of commotion about maybe trading up, trading down for some offensive line. Wilson, what do you think?
Well, I should be saving this for with the first pick podcast, but the
you Raiders guys are terrible at talking about gambling. So,
oh my gosh, yeah. Debo had to explain to Spielman and basically to me how odds worked. But anyway,
you're like, you win $800 on a dollar if the Raiders take a receiver?
I didn't say that. That was Spielman. But I struggled doing the math like +50,000. Like, I can't do the math on what that means.
Yeah, it is confusing. It should be 50-1 to me, I think, honestly.
Yeah, that I could live with. But here's the thing. Here's what I've heard. I've been talking to some people. I heard the Raiders are out on Levis. So I don't think they're not taking Levis. So I think they want to trade down from what I understand.
Why don't you expound on that a little bit just so we can clip it for a short?
I'll save for with the first pick, but that's a good idea. Thank you.
So, I mean, I think the irony of the Raiders possibly being out on Will Levis, as Ryan Wilson has just reported on the Pick Six podcast, is that, and not with the First Pick podcast, but here on the Pick Six podcast.
Is with the First Take. I'll report on with the First Take.
With the First Take podcast. Is that, like, honestly, if I were, in my troll mock draft, where the worst mock draft of all time, I had the Raiders taking Anthony Richardson. And in hindsight, what I should have done is had that it was like an homage to Al Davis, because, you know, freak athlete, tests like crazy. And if somebody pointed out, it's like, I think Brady Quinn pointed out, he's like, you should have done it where the Raiders take the slowest guy at the combine, like troll Al Davis as well. But I think it is crazy that, like, if the Raiders are out on Will Levis, I mean, that Will Levis is an Al Davis type of guy too. Big cannon arm, not necessarily accurate underneath, can just bomb the deep ball, you know, very just physical. And I mean, I do think though, Wilson, when you sort of think about what the Raiders have in currently Jimmy Garoppolo, a quarterback, like, you know, you could say, oh, well, it makes sense. Like, you get Will Levis and he sits behind Jimmy G for a year. And yet at the same time, Will Levis and Jimmy G could not be more polar opposites. Jimmy G is accurate, a point guard, good underneath, good in the intermediate stuff, can hit the deep ball if given the time and, you know, given the separation by the wide receiver. Whereas Will Levis is like going to stretch the field for you and make the receiver get underneath it and just cannot really hit anything underneath. So it's like, I think it kind of makes sense what you're saying, that the Raiders don't feel like a fit for Will Levis in that Josh McDaniels system.
Well, and the other thing I'll say about that, and I don't think it's going to be a quarterback. I just feel like if you have the 7th overall pick, you cannot be taking the 4th best player at a position when you're picking at 7. You're in a spot where you can take the best player at a position.
By the way, sorry to interrupt you. That was your super crappy Mac Jones argument. And Mac Jones is going to be a Hall of Famer. Go ahead.
Mac Jones was not the 4th quarterback taken in that draft, Wilson.
Are you sure?
What do you have to say to that? Was he? No, Justin Fields was. Boom, got you there. But also, when you're picking at 7 is what I said. The Patriots were picking at 15 in 2021. So that's a huge difference. So you just cannot take the 4th best player at any position when you're picking 7th overall. It just doesn't make any sense. So I don't know. I feel like they'll take a corner. You can take the top corner on the board, whoever you think that is, if it's Christian Gonzalez. So if I'm betting here, I'm putting money on the defensive back +170.
I like the corner. I think I had him taking Tyree Wilson, the edge rusher, in my latest mock draft, but defense is the way to go. I've had offensive line before, and Raiders fans get angry because they have some depth there and they paid some guys, and I get that. That's fine as well. But I think quarterback is at the bottom of the list. I would push back a little bit on Will Levis being able to throw to all three levels. I think he can. I just think he's not consistent and at all three levels. And that's
Yeah, I mean, that's what I meant. It's like, he's not, I mean, obviously anybody can, if you can throw deep, you can throw underneath and like intermediate. He's just not accurate and currently accurate. Like, he's a homeless man's Josh Allen, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm hemming and hawing because I
poor man.
No, you're right.
I just, class Josh Allen. Like, whatever.
I don't want to, I try not to dump on Will Levis too much, but
wait, is he the one that puts mayonnaise in his coffee?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is. I mean, also that,
oh, I'm drafting him. I changed my mind on everything.
You're a Katie, sick
let me
effort,
ask you
bitch.
This. Katie, let me ask you this.
Mayonnaise?
Putting mayonnaise in your coffee or eating banana with the peel on? Which one turns?
I mean, both are, I almost said effing, but like both are freaking repulsive.
Yeah, both are absolutely psychopaths. I would say eating the banana with the peel on is worse.
But the
wait,
fact
who does that?
The fact that you had to think about it, to your point, paints a picture of someone you probably don't want leading your organization.
Mayonnaise in the coffee.
The banana peel is pretty gross, though.
Like, Billy, if you have a second, see if you can find that clip and put
no,
it.
No, please don't show it. It's so gross. Mayonnaise, but, at okay, least like mayonnaise, at least is like you're you put. You let the dogs out. Woof, woof, woof.
Katie's dog hates mayonnaise.
If you put mayonnaise in coffee, like, don't get me wrong, that's repulsive. But it's at least like you would stir it up and it would become the consistency of like a creamer or something like that. No. You're eating the banana peel, bro. Like, you better wash the living crap out of that thing.
Here's the thing. This is much like the short you did where Billy got dunked on all the time for his mock draft, like worst Rushmore draft. You were crushing him until you put Alex Smith at the end. Just don't include the part about the mayonnaise being okay in the coffee. It's not okay in any shape, form.
I had so many choices. I didn't need to get Alex Smith. And I
you've got
to
keep our composure. We've got too far.
Exactly. You got to keep your composure.
I think the two spots that are value here when we look at the Raiders, and we can move on to the next team after that, but like, to me, defensive lineman and edge rusher, one, you're getting like any defensive tackles that come into play, plus, of course, the edge rushers. And I think, dude, if you look at Chandler Jones's contract, this guy's gone after this coming year. I mean, he was really disappointing in his first season.
You could argue he was gone last year.
Right. You could argue they would move on from him after. Like, I think they would move on from right now, but I believe, and I'm bringing up Spotrac right now, Spotrac, but I'm pretty sure that they can't cut him right now without suffering some like massive dead cap hit. And then, but after this coming season, so yeah, they can't, if they cut him right now, they'd lose $6 million in cap space. If you cut him next season, you save $12.2 million in cap space. Like, they're clearly going to move on from Chandler Jones. And so it makes sense to go ahead and, oh God, this is so gross. Like, that's repulsive. Oh, I can't watch. Dude, what are we doing? Get this out of here. This is a visual medium. All right, moving along. Anyway, I think defensive lineman edge holds some value there. Plus, offensive lineman could make some sense. That feels like a deep fake situation.
He's also eating with his shirt on. Eating this is just brown. Aggressive it's in so general. Brown.
It's got to be mushy, Breach. He doesn't have.
I feel like that's coffee. A plantain. He doesn't like it. That's not a banana. That's a plantain, man.
Why would he like it?
Was he dared to do this?
You know what, Katie? That's a great point. And I found out that he was dared. And that's a bigger issue for me, that you keep taking these dares to prove to people that you're whatever you want them to be. That's not the guy you want leading your football team. You want a guy to take the banana and throw it at you and tell you to shut up for even suggesting that you eat a banana. Same with the mayonnaise.
No way. You want the guy that fits in and says, you know what? You dare me eat one banana peel? I'm going to eat seven banana peels that one up to everything. I want that guy with my banana.
That's how you never breach your quarterback.
Right. That's number one. Even though he threw a touchdown on special.
Please don't show the mayonnaise thing. Please don't. I'm leaving.
Billy's not going to show it. Okay. Billy's not going to show it.
Sucky, and no. I have been known to put mayonnaise.
Oh, you can hit the volume on this, Billy. So look at that. That's
oh my God.
Look at that's a lot of mayonnaise.
Oh my God.
And Brinson said,
does
that's
it
okay.
even mix? Wait. Is it lumpy?
No,
did it even
God,
mix in?
Please, no.
It's 100% lumpy. Look at this guy.
If you are listening to the audio podcast, you need to find the YouTube version of today's show and watch everything that Will Levis does, from the mayonnaise and the coffee to eating the banana with the banana peel on.
By the way, Katie, I don't know if you've heard. Sorry, Breach. I don't know if you've heard Breach mispronounce a bunch of words. He just said Will Levis. Like, he calls him Bill Belichick. He can't say like B-I-L-L-W-I-L-L.
I was muted, but I want to point out that we can see all of Billy's Slack DMs there, by the way.
I didn't see him. So go back and watch it on YouTube if you want to. By the way, Breach, quickly, I just want to ask you. So you're okay if Joe Burrow's chugging whole bananas with the peel on and drinking mayonnaise coffee? Like, that's what you want in your team leader?
If Joe Burrow wants to get on Instagram and do that, but he wouldn't do that. He'd just sit at home.
Joe Burrow would never.
Ever. It's not that if he did it, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, it wouldn't faze me.
Joe Burrow has nothing to prove. Okay, we're going to move on to more first drafted position odds, but we're going to take a quick break. Before we do, let's just get into the other football, CBS Sports Galazzo Network, the first of its kind free 24/7 channel dedicated exclusively to global coverage of soccer coverage, now streaming on CBS Sports app and Pluto TV and Paramount Plus. Get your morning started off on the right foot with Morning Footy, our weekday soccer culture-driven morning show beginning at 7 a.m. ET. Plus, don't miss the rest of our top-notch programming, including live match and re-airs, original studio shows, highlights, documentaries, and more. CBS Sports Galazzo Network is the ultimate year-round streaming destination for fans of the beautiful game. When I don't butcher it, we'll be right back.
Get breaking news.
Big news coming out of the NFL today.
Highlights and instant reactions.
The largest final round comeback in four championship history. We're down to the final four.
I just want to take time to analyze greatness.
Chalk winners and losers with a guy who's already a big winner.
CBS Sports HQ. It's all sports all day long.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit RobertHalf.com today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the Pick Six Podcast. If you're not following us on social, what are you doing? At Pick Six Pod across all social media platforms. Moving on, let's talk about the New York Giants' first drafted position. According to our friends at Caesars, the favorite, of course, wide receiver, minus 110. Then you got defensive back, plus 200. O-lineman, plus 700. It goes down from there. When I took a look at some of the odds of who maybe they're going to take at that 21 spot, I see Zay Flowers, plus 350 odds. Quentin Johnson, plus 375. Brinson, what do you think?
I think that... And the Giants are 25, right?
Yep.
25. Yeah. I just was making sure. Look, wide receiver is obviously the biggest, most obvious need. I think, though, that, you know, when you look at their wide receiver group, you have Wandale Robinson, who they took in the second round last year, and I think they really, really like. I mean, this is a kid that, you know, was the second pick, or third pick, technically, because they had Kayvon Thibodeau and Evan Neal in the first round. The third pick overall of this Joe Shane – Brian Dable regime. And if he's going to be their slot guy,
he's coming off an ACL too, though,
for sure. I'm just saying, like, I sort of wonder how things, like, does this draft class equate to filling out the Giants wide receiver depth chart if they do believe in Wandale Robinson? You know what I mean? Like, a lot of these guys are smaller slot guys. It makes a lot of sense that they would take a wide receiver. I think you could still make the case that, you know, this is a team that run by guys who came from Buffalo. And in Buffalo, we saw they really built out the offensive line. And they did want to get an alpha wide receiver in Stephon Diggs for Josh Allen there. And I think that's something that the Giants definitely want to do. But they focused on the defensive line, or the offensive line, excuse me. And then, you know, you have still plenty of holes on that defense. You have Dexter Lawrence, who's apparently not going to report until he gets a new deal. We'll see how that works out. He should get paid. Great, great player. Only 25 years old. Leonard Williams, of course. Kayvon Thibodeau. They have some – you know, brought in Bobby Okereke in free agency. Had Gerard Davis they picked up last year. And so I really think defensive back at 2-1 is something I would probably look at over wide receiver. And I would definitely consider offensive lineman at 7-1. I think it's possible that they understand how important it is to protect Daniel Jones, how important it is to have that run game with Saquon Barkley. And he's going to sign his tag and show up at some point. So to me, 7-1 for offensive linemen is probably the best value there, given that, again, this is a weird draft class. Maybe we see a guy who's got some versatility who can play guard or play right tackle. Well, I guess they got Neal at right tackle and Thomas at left tackle. But, like, just somebody who can, like, can, if, let's say, Thomas or Neal gets hurt, is there a guy like and Peter Skoronski won't be there, but, you know, he can play tackle, can play guard. Somebody who has some malleability, some versatility at offensive line that could fill in as a swing tackle if they need him to. They hope they don't, but can also maybe develop into a really good guard. So I think I would look at offensive line as some value there at 7-1 for the Giants. And maybe defensive back as well. Wide receiver, certainly the favorite for obvious reasons. But I just don't know that the draft class fits their needs.
I heard that the Giants love Zay Flowers, wide receiver BC, and there's some conversations in that building about trading up to go get him. So
that'd be fine.
That changes the dynamic. And again, I don't know what the numbers are. I don't know if you have it in front of you, Katie or Wilbur, but Zay Flowers' first wide receiver taken is something to think about long and hard as we come down the stretch here. plus 350.
I think he's the best wide receiver in the draft class. I don't understand why he should be the favorite to me.
That might be the favorite,
but he's at plus 350, and then Quentin Johnson's plus 375.
No, Jaxon Smith in Jigba is the favorite. I think at minus 110 or something like that.
Oh, this is favorite for the Giants. Sorry, not overall.
Yeah. Wide receiver is the favorite. I'm saying like Zay Flowers at plus 350 is a good look.
Whatever the number is for first wide receiver taken, I would look at Zay and Jaxon. I don't know if you can make money by betting both. You guys are the smart ones on that. The other thing you mentioned, offensive line, like they desperately need help at center. And Breach, I'll ask you this. Would you trade up for wide receiver one, or would you wait till at pick 25, trade from there? And then they have pick 57. And at pick 57, you're going to get – there's four centers that are going to go between picks 30 and like 60 or whatever. So would you trade up for the wide receiver at 25 and stay put at 57 and hope you get one of those centers that you want? Or are you just going to 25 overdraft a center and worry about the other stuff later?
Well, I think at 25, you could also overdraft – a receiver. I think a lot of Brinson's logic actually made sense where for once, when you're talking
I'll
about
see you guys later,
you're George Costanza
retiring on a high note. But when you talk about defensive back, we'll start with receivers. So if you're thinking about that, how many of these guys have a first round grade? I mean, you guys mentioned two of them, maybe three at the most, but this seems like a wide receiver class where you could find someone in the second round. We've seen a lot of stars come out of the second round in the past few years with T. Higgins, A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel, all second-round receivers, so you can absolutely find someone. So if I'm the Giants, I don't feel like I have to take a receiver 25th overall. I'm certainly not going to trade up to get a receiver in a not-great receiving class, and I would also feel comfortable if I have to take a receiver 57th overall. So I feel like from a positional standpoint, that would be probably my second or third priority.
All right, Breach, let me stop you quick. I want to use some Breach logic on you. Yeah. So if you take a cornerback at 25, you're getting cornerback four or five. If you take a wide receiver, you might get wide receiver three. Maybe you trade it for wide receiver one. So that's the other math you're doing.
Well, right. Cornerback, getting the fourth best player at a position at 25 is different. We were talking about the Raiders getting the fourth best player position at number seven. To me, doesn't make sense. Once you get to the bottom half of the 20s, you know, you take someone you feel comfortable with. You know, if the Giants love Zay Flowers and he's on the board at 25, then take Zay Flowers.
Right.
But, you know, I just think they could get someone close to that at 57 because I don't think wide receivers are going to fly off the board. So I'd probably look at corner or even offensive line, as Brinson said.
Okay.
Who's next?
I'm not the draft guy, Wilson. You're the draft guy.
Breach is a hard out at two.
Hard out at two. Baltimore Ravens, they are favored to take defensive back now since they got Odell Beckham Jr. plus 125, wide receiver 160, and then defensive lineman edge plus 550, quarterback 600. We still don't know what's happening with Lamar Jackson, but I'm pretty sure he's coming back to Baltimore. Wilson?
Yeah, I just pencil in a wide receiver here. I know they got Odell Beckham. I know they got Nelson Aguilar. Both those guys are short-term solutions, and we don't know where they are in their journey of NFL productivity, but you know, there's a pretty good guess. So I had Quentin Johnson going the wide receiver out of TCU. He's the big receiver Brent was talking about earlier. Defensive backs, I mean, there'll be certainly more options here at 22 than at 25 when we're talking about the Giants. Maybe Deontay Banks is still there, the long corner out of Maryland. It would be awesome if they drafted Joey Porter Jr. out of Penn State just because of his dad's ties to Pittsburgh. He could be an option there. A couple names, if you guys want to sprinkle some money on cornerbacks that go in round one, Emmanuel Forbes out of Mississippi State is going to be a guy that folks aren't really talking about that has a chance to go first round, and so is Juju Brents out of Kansas State. So write those names down, and if there's not a number out yet for them, because those guys have a real good chance to go in round one, and there hasn't been a lot of talk about them in the old draft Twitter sphere.
Brents, what do you think?
Oh, you're on mute.
Brinson's on mute.
I'm muted. My bad. When you see the Ravens give Odell Beckham $15 million and then he FaceTimes Lamar Jackson and we're like, oh, like all of a sudden, you know, the Ravens odds move and the over 8.5 jumps from minus 125 to minus 140, probably creeps up to 9 in a little bit. The Ravens odds shrink to win the division because everyone thinks that Lamar is coming back. It does seem like safe to say that if Lamar is FaceTiming Odell Beckham and, you know, reportedly, as Breach wrote on CBSSports.com, you know, helping to recruit Odell Beckham to the Ravens, that Baltimore is doing its best to at least try and band-aid the situation by getting Lamar Jackson some help, showing them that they appreciate who he is as a quarterback and as a player and a person, and to, you know, bring in receivers to beef up that offense, even if it's just sort of like hey, just sign your tag and play this year. We'll figure it out after the season. Like it makes a lot of sense that they would go wide receiver. So at plus 160, with all the wide receivers they have, like all the wide receivers available, like again, like a Josh Downs type is would be really interesting here. I think, you know, you get it to him underneath, you know, and like let him work. And you know, maybe not in that offense in particular. We don't know what it's going to look like when Todd Monken takes over. I just think wide receiver is just an easy one to look at, but definitely defensive back deserves to be the favorite given their needs at cornerback.
I'm going to go with a little wild card here. I like the value in defensive lineman, edge rusher at plus 550. You look at a lot of the guys the Ravens have let walk this offseason, Clayus Campbell, Justin Houston, Jason Pierre-Paul. Not those guys are, you know, they're all older veterans that the Ravens said, all right, let's get younger at these positions. And, you know, we mentioned they signed Odell Beckham. So maybe that pushes your need for a wide receiver back to the second round. And then I feel like they could use a defensive back, and it wouldn't be surprising at all if they take it. But I absolutely do think they need to get a defensive lineman at some point earlier in the draft, maybe day two at the latest. And so, man, at plus 550, I would at least consider that because I could see them doing that.
Breach, just so you know, the Ravens trade their second round pick.
Do they have a third round pick?
Yeah, they do.
And that's on day two, right?
I think plus 550 is a good look there. I mean, like day two.
I didn't say second round.
Again, right? Like there's so much variance with this draft in this first round that I think it's very reasonable to suggest that if you see some value to like a possible position of need, like at five to one or more, I mean, you should absolutely consider looking at it.
Yep. All right, moving on to the Bengals. They are favored to take a tight end, plus 130 defensive back, plus 280 offensive lineman, plus 375. Some tight ends that are floating around, Michael Mayer from Notre Dame, Darnell Washington from Georgia, Dalton Kincaid from Utah. Wilson, or actually I'll start with Breach because this is your team. Do you think they go tight end or are you looking for more value down the line?
I don't. I would literally bet every other position there. Defensive back, offensive lineman, even defensive line edge, I think that wouldn't surprise me at all. I just think that when you look at just really NFL teams valuing tight ends, they don't get drafted in the first round very often. I mean, sure, we didn't see a tight end draft in the first round last year. There was only one drafted in the first round in 2021. That was Kyle Pitts, who was an all-time prospect, none drafted in the first round in 2020. And so this is definitely a deeper tight end class, but I feel like the Bengals will probably feel comfortable waiting to maybe their second pick, 60th overall, to take a tight end. So I would not, even though that's the odds on favorite, I would stay far away from that. And I feel like you could almost bet the other three and guarantee yourself a profit. I don't think it'll be a running back either. I know Ryan's been mentioning Robinson on a couple podcasts he's been on, right, Wilson? I do think they will take a running back eventually in the draft, but I would be stunned if they went that route in the first round.
No, I agree, but I don't think Bijan lasts that long, the running back out of Texas. But if he were there and the Bills pick right before the Bengals, and if the Bills took him, I'd be like, that's amazing. And the same reason for the Bengals, because in that offense just makes things that much more complicated for all the defenses trying to face him. I like your theory about the tight ends, and that's an interesting one. If you have a choice between tight end one and running back one of that pick, and those are the only two picks, choices, what are you taking, Breach?
I think I'm taking, if you're saying is Bijan Robinson there or the top tight end,
yeah,
I'm probably taking Robinson.
I think so too. I think that's right. I think defensive back is noteworthy as well, even though they have Dax Hill from last year's first round pick, because Spielman says it all the time. You can never have enough edge rushers or defensive backs. So if you have a chance to get a good cornerback and you like him, I think that makes sense too. And you're actually selling me on the tight ends. This tight ends class is as deep as it's ever been. So you don't have to take the first one if you like the tight end six, for example.
By the way, if you talk about teams that have taken a tight end, I'm trying not to laugh at it because it's like in the past.
I was watching you just grinning.
I was trying to look it up really quickly. In the past 12 years, the Bengals have taken two tight ends in the first round. Like not only Jermaine Gresham, but then in 2010, but then, of course, in 2013, they took Tyler Eifert. And we saw him take, four years ago, Drew Sample with the 52nd overall pick. So tight end in a position that they're willing to target, certainly, this regime, because we're talking about the same regime. But I think
how has that worked out for them? I think they've been burnt by it. And again, that was actually one of those reasons why they wouldn't do it this year.
That's I don't entirely disagree. And let's not forget that Jonah Williams, their 2019 first-round pick, has reportedly or just openly requested a trade. So offensive lineman at plus 375 for a Bengals team that poured a ton of money into Orlando Brown, knows they need help for Joe Burrow. Like, offensive lineman makes a lot of sense and is good value here at plus 375.
And to Brenton's point real quick, I only did one mock draft. It was a Bengals 7-round mock draft, and I had them taking an offensive line in the first round, so I actually love that.
Tight end university.
Okay, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We got to move through these. We have more first-round positions coming up next on the Pick Six podcast. We'll be right back.
Phenomenal! Absolutely magisterial here!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the Pick Six podcast. I'm Katie Mox here with Will Brinson, John Breach, and Ryan Wilson. Today is the Who Gets Picked show. I don't know, Pick Six, Who Gets Picked. It's a tough tongue twister for me there today.
They were going to be using six teams too.
Ooh, we are using six teams. Yeah, so that just adds to all of this. All right, guys, keep up with us all week long for more NFL offseason coverage. Remember to like, comment, subscribe on the YouTube page. Let's move to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They've got defensive back and offensive lineman at the top of the odds board here. Defensive back at even money, offensive lineman plus 150. Then you got edge plus 350. Wilson, I believe the Steelers are your team, correct?
That is correct. Even though
how do we feel?
Snoopy might say otherwise, Breach. So here's the thing. Joey Porter's like
a... I still need to know the story at some point.
Oh, yeah. We'll save it for the off season because it's...
Yep.
It's a sad story.
It's a one-hour podcast.
You can actually look at the podcast archives.
We'll do the oral history of the Snoopy story.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, so Joey Porter Jr. is sort of the popular Pittsburgh connection because his dad played there and he's cornerback and they need cornerback help. He's long, had a really good career at Penn State. But I think offensive line, defensive line may be the place to sprinkle your money. And I'm hearing that the Steelers might want to trade up and I'm hearing they might want to get help either along the offensive line or the defensive line. So knowing all that, that's the direction I'm going to go. In the mock draft, I had him staying put at 17. I had him taking Joey Porter Jr. No surprise there. So, but I think at the end of the day, if things fall the way they want it to fall, they'll move up for an offensive lineman or perhaps even a defensive lineman.
So you're telling me there's a chance
at the Super Bowl, Billy.
Joey Porter Jr. is going to be like the 99.9% of all mocks out there are going to have him either go to Washington or for just because Washington needs a defensive back and he's just like kind of fits the time frame or to Pittsburgh because of the obvious Joey Porter connections. I do think, you know, you draft Kenny Pickett last year in the first round. by the way, I'm told reliably that's been stolen from me after I stole it from Wilson and used around the internet. So congrats, Wilson. You're like the Slanket of the internet. I'm the Snuggie, of course, and I get all the credit and all the money.
I'm the Skype and you're the Zoom.
That's right. Yeah, you did a great job in 2000. Congratulations. I think offensive lineman, like helping out Kenny Pickett makes a ton of sense, but I mean, I don't hate defensive back at even money, Breach.
No, I don't hate defensive back, but I think that Wilson probably hit the nail on the head here. He knows the team the best. And that offensive lineman, you have to love that value because, look, you want to protect Kenny Pickett. They went out and signed two starting guards in Samalo and James Daniels, and now you need to get a tackle in there, and I think that's the route they go. So I like the offensive line at plus 150.
All right, last but not least, let's talk about the Jets. If you're going to get Aaron Rodgers, you got to be able to protect him. Offensive lineman, heavy favorite, the heaviest we've seen, minus 300. Then you got defensive lineman edge, plus 250. Wide receiver, plus 1400. I don't know if he's getting everybody on his list. Brinson, what do you think?
I mean, they obviously, you know, signed Alan Lazard, brought beside Mecole Hardman. They traded away Elijah Moore. And Corey Davis, I still think, is a possible cap casualty. Denzel Mims, a 2020 second-round pick, hadn't exactly panned out. I don't think it's outrageous to suggest that they'll bring another wide receiver. Mm-hmm. It may just end up being Randall Cobb because Aaron Rodgers wants to get his friends paid. I will say this. We're all assuming that Aaron Rodgers is going to go to the Jets.
I'm not.
I'm not either. Like, oh, it's been a little too long. The Packers are being a little quiet. Your boy, Craig Cartoon, is firing up everybody by talking about him going to the 49ers, Katie. And
why is he saying that?
I don't know. He says he's hearing that. The second time I called him that in 2 days. I don't really think he's a cartoon. Please don't roast me for it, Craig. You whatever.
Too late.
Yeah, it's a Wilson joke. Quarterback at 40-1. Like, if they don't get Aaron Rodgers by the draft, they have to at least consider something else in this draft. What if Will Levis falls to them?
Then you take an offensive lineman. that's what you do.
I mean, they drafted Elijah Vera Tucker. They drafted Max Mitchell in the fourth round last year. You have Mekhi Becton. You still hope that he works out. I mean,
yeah, but you know,
I'm okay with it. I just think minus 300. I'm never betting that what pick are we talking about here? 13? It's an outrageous price. Well,
that's right. That's fair enough. Fair enough with that part of it. The cost of it, sure. But the thing is, are you going to trust Mekhi Becton, who hasn't stayed healthy, to protect Aaron Rodgers, who, if he gets hit once, I say it all the time, we've seen him mail it in at halftime when things aren't going the Packers' way. He ain't going to be going out there taking a whooping like Mike White was and expecting to show up every Sunday.
Right. No, that's fair. I think I would want to be sprinkling. I mean, even defensive back. Like, I know that they have Sauce, of course. They brought a DJ Reed. You got Chuck Clark on the back end, and like, it's unlikely they draft a defensive back, but I don't think it's insane. I mean, just given like Robert Saleh's history and knowing that, I think defensive back at 20-1 and quarterback at 40-1 would intrigue me here, as well as wide receiver at 14-1. I mean, do not spend minus 300. I mean, lay $300 to win 100 on offensive linemen. That's outrageous.
You have to hope the Jets trade down, and then the positions you're talking about, then they come into play.
Yeah, it does feel like they would absolutely have to do that if it's not going to be an offensive line. Because the thing is, whether Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback or not, you need to upgrade your offensive line because Zach Wilson's back there. He's going to get killed if you don't upgrade the offensive line. If it's Will Levis or anybody else that they might draft, you need a better offensive line. So that just feels like the move, which, you know, feels also dumb because that's minus 300. But it's the only one that makes sense if they stay put at 13th overall.
You're going to lay off of this unless you're going to be like Brinson and sprinkle a little on the 4-1 or the 14-1.
Well, the other mystery here is, like, even if the Aaron Rodgers trade happens, what if it doesn't happen before the draft? What if it happens in May? Then the Jets have to go into this draft not knowing who their quarterback is or not knowing 100% that Aaron Rodgers is going to be on the team, which makes it hard to plan for the draft.
Breach, I think Prisco said that he thinks it happens draft night. So that's still, I mean, do you want to wait that late to sort this out?
No, yeah, and that's why the offensive lineman is the safe pick, because you're thinking, all right, if we have Aaron, we need an offensive lineman. If we don't have Aaron, we need an offensive lineman. Let's just go offensive lineman. I think that's why that makes
sense. Brinson, you're still muted.
Yeah, it's like he's trying to form a sentence.
I know, I'm sorry. Michael Mayer... Okay. Tight end at 30-1, you know, you have Tyler Conklin there. If you had a Michael Mayer out of Notre Dame, the tight end out of Notre Dame, and let's say you were like, okay, we kind of like our offensive lineman, we still hope Mekhi Becton works. You could get a really good run blocking tight end like a Michael Mayer at 13 who could also catch passes. And that serves as this helps Aaron Rodgers if we get him, or if we don't get Aaron Rodgers, it'll improve our offensive line as sort of an add on, right? So I think I'd sprinkle all four of those at 14, 20, 30, and 40.
There's more chance of you getting beaten up for the tight end at 13 conversation than the cartoon conversation.
Yeah, since 2015, there's only been two tight ends taken in the top 15. Jets fans would boo if
it's a different draft. Jets fans boo everything. Whatever. All right,
that's
fine.
True.
They also have picks 42 and 43. So if you want to circle back for a tight end there, that might be a better opportunity.
Remember when Brinson was going to leave the show because he made that great point like 30 minutes ago? And well, then he ends on this tight end of the Jets note.
He took his glasses off. He's like when what did Costanza do? Oh, he quit having sex and he got really smart. You took your glasses off and that's right. came back to normal.
Yes, George Costanza stopped having sex with anyone or himself and very, very quickly became incredibly intelligent.
And then he also would the episode where he made jokes and then left on a high note.
Yeah.
He'd leave the room as soon as someone laughed.
Then let's go ahead and leave.
The Jer store called and it's all out of you.
Oh, gosh. Go ahead, Kenny.
All right, well, let's Costanza and leave on a high note after that joke because I know people got places to go. Thank you for watching the Pick Six podcast. Make sure you join us next week at 1 p.m. for more NFL offseason coverage. Remember to like, comment, subscribe on the YouTube page. If you're listening to audio, do the same. Download, follow, leave a 5-star review, and tell your friends to listen and watch the pod. We'll see you next week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.